taking their place in a long true line of everyday Americans,
helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel.
Pay the bills, stay out of jail, love the neighbors and have a few good friends. Every day you were everyday Americans.
Hello there, everyday Americans. Welcome to the Constitution Study. This is where we read and study the Constitution, teach the rising generation to be free. I'm glad you could join me. Today, I'm going to focus on, mythical powers of Congress. These are powers that Congress or members of Congress exercise. They have no real legitimate authority to, but they are there. They act out, and because we let them get away with it, they pretend that they're real. They pretend that they're legal. Now, today I'm going to start off with this concept of a subpoena. Now, what is a subpoena? Basically, a subpoena is an order for someone to appear. It's a summons, right? It's a writ, a legal command that a person appear in a court under a penalty of failure. Now, that's according to Merriam-Webster, right? A writ commanding a person designated in it to appear in a court under penalty for failure. Now, as you may know, I was recently served a federal subpoena, nothing to do with the Constitution Study. I was asked to testify in a case involving a former employer. The court wanted me to show up. The U.S. The attorney wanted me to show up, so they issued a subpoena. Now, my first thought was, wait a second, where in the Constitution is the executive branch authorized to command my appearance? I love the way they word it, right? They don't say, yes, we are calling you to testify. It says, literally, you are commanded to appear in a U.S. district court. And that bothered me. But I was thinking about it. You see, the Sixth Amendment says that the defendant in a criminal case has compulsory processes for attaining witnesses in his favor. Okay. And I could see the logical, the logical standpoint saying, well, if the defense has a power to compel obtaining witnesses in their favor, then, okay, I can kind of see the prosecution having that power as well. So I did a little research, and Title 28 of the United States Code, Section 1651, says that the Supreme and all courts established by act of Congress may issue all writs necessary or appropriate in aid of their respective jurisdictions and agreeable to the usage of the and principles of law. Okay, so Congress said, listen, federal courts can issue all writs. That would include a writ of subpoena. And is this an appropriate action of Congress? Well, Congress does have the authority to pass legislation and create laws involving executing the powers of the United States. So this one is one of those, it's not a direct link. Now, there's nothing in the Constitution that says it, but it is generally considered a power that you can, if a defendant can compel witnesses, then I can see the logic of the prosecution being able to call witnesses as well. But that brings up an interesting situation. Because while I recognize the authority of the judicial power of the United States and the need to call witnesses in such cases, Congress has extended this subpoena power to everyone in the just about everyone in the federal government. Specifically, I'm looking at Title II, Section 192 of the United States Code, which says, every person who, having been summoned as a witness by the authority of either House of Congress to give testimony or to produce papers upon any matter under inquiry before either House or any joint committee established by a joint concurrent resolution of the two Houses of Congress or any committee of either House of Congress, willfully makes default or who, having appeared, refuses to answer any question pertinent to the question under inquiry, shall be deemed guilty of a misdemeanor punishable by a fine of not more than $1,000, nor less than $100, and imprisonment in a common jail for not less than 1 month, nor more than 12 months. In other words, it's the Congress has claimed it's a crime for you to not show up when they call you. Now, here's the problem I have. Show me anywhere in the Constitution that the Congress is given the authority to summon people to testify before it. The answer is it doesn't exist. Now, again, we can infer the power of a court to call a witness in a case, but here we're just saying, listen, if any committee or House of Congress says you show up and you, we want you to testify, we want you to provide materials, either you show up or you're committing a crime. That's a federal crime. What Congress is doing is a federal crime, and it has been abused so much. Now, why is this important? Part of it is Congress has kind of assumed to itself a judicial role. They claim the authority to, not just a judicial role, by the way, an executive role, because they claim the authority to investigate. That's not a legislative power. Now, they may want to gather information if we're going to make a law, we want to gather some information, but that's not investigation. The investigation is a executive act. And they certainly have no authority to judge. That's a judicial act. So Title II, Section 192 of the United States Code is illegal. It is null and it is void because the court recognizes this is not a power. This is not a power delegated to Congress. It is not a power delegated to the United States to willy-nilly call citizens to appear before it. Therefore, according to the 10th Amendment, the United States doesn't have it. If the United States doesn't have it, Congress can't have it. This is a crime. Now, what brought this to my attention today? Well, I'm sure most of you have been involved or are aware of the January 6th demonstration. I'm sorry, they're calling it a riot. They're calling it an insurrection. It was a demonstration. Even the people who trespassed on Capitol grounds and did damage, you could not, in any logical, reasonable standpoint, call that a riot. I had an interesting discussion with a reporter looking for information for a story about the details of it. Now, I won't go into that here, but Congress has claimed the authority to call a committee to investigate that. Congress, you have no legitimate authority to call a committee to investigate potential criminal actions. I don't care that it happened on the Capitol. The United States Congress is a legislative branch, not an executive branch. They have no legal authority. This January 6th committee is null and void because it's a violation. It is repugnant to the Constitution of the United States. Now, apparently, there are people who are not complying with the supposed subpoenas that have been issued. Okay, first of all, Congress does not have the legal authority to issue a subpoena. They don't have the authority to issue a writ of subpoena. Only the courts have the authority to issue a writ of subpoena. Again, 28 U.S.C. 1651, Supreme and all other courts created by an act of Congress may issue the necessary writs, including a writ of subpoena. So that subpoena is probably a federal crime. Because let's face it, if you or I were to create a quote-unquote subpoena and demand it be complied with, well, we'd go to jail. So why don't these people in Congress? Well, all right, technically, they cannot be questioned for what they do in their job, so the people couldn't go to jail. But I'm with these people who said, no, you have no legal authority to call me for this. This committee is illegal. This committee is... this subpoena is illegal, and now Congress wants to punish those who don't comply. From Bernie Thompson and Liz Cheney, the chair and the committee chair and vice chair, they released a joint statement that said, "We will not allow any witness to defy a lawful subpoena or attempt to run out the clock, and we will swiftly consider advancing a criminal contempt of Congress referral." Okay, this is not a lawful subpoena. Congress does not have the lawful authority to issue a subpoena. All right, so it's not a lawful subpoena. Let's start with that. Second of all, criminal contempt. When was holding Congress in contempt a crime? Now, let's understand, Congress saying, if you don't do what we say, we call that contempt and we make it a crime. Where is that in the Constitution? I know, Title II, Section 192, says if you refuse to show when you are summoned, Congress, you have no legal authority to summon me. You have no legal authority to demand that I be a witness before you. You are not a court. So 2 U.S.C. 192, that's criminal. That's unconstitutional. That's void. But you see, we've allowed Congress to become this catch-all, to assume powers not authorized to it, that now you have members of this select committee saying, you will show or else. I hold Bernie Thompson and Liz Cheney in contempt. Their actions are contemptible. If anyone is in contempt of the Constitution, it is these two people. Now, going back to my subpoena, it's a federal subpoena. It would require travel. And I believe it is actually my civic and moral duty to show up and offer testimony in a case where my testimony has input, where my testimony is valuable, whether it be for the prosecution or the defense. I believe it's my duty. So I was prepared. I contacted the U.S. Attorney's Office. I spoke to a very nice lady there, very nice people, and got some information. But one of the things is, well, I would have to fly in order to go there. In order to be a witness, I'd have to fly there. And as we were talking about it, I informed her that, listen, I will not accept the vaccine. I will not take a COVID test. And I will only wear a mask under extreme duress. Now, so I said, if you're going to fly me out, guess what? If you're going to require I take a vaccine to fly to go be there, to show up at the courthouse, to participate, it ain't happening. She said, well, you have to wear a mask when you fly. I said, well, I don't like it, but that is a hill I'm not prepared to die on. I will die on the vaccine, but I'm not prepared to die on the mask. Of course, I have my own little mask that says mandates are tyranny worn under duress. All right, so if I am forced to wear a mask, I'm letting everybody who looks at it know I'm wearing this under duress. In fact, I'm hopefully going to have these available for sale on the website. So keep your ears open. If you want to see one of these, like I said, hopefully be on the website soon. But I informed her those are non-negotiables. You can compel my you can command my presence, but you cannot destroy my rights. You cannot infringe on my rights to do so. Well, they've told me they're not going to have me come up. Okay, that's their decision. It's the decision of the attorney. But I think a lot of it had to do with the fact that I understand my rights. I don't know. Maybe they looked at me and said, maybe the testimony just isn't worth the hassle. We just don't want to deal with this guy. I don't know. What I do know is that if you are failing to comply with an illegal and unlawful subpoena from Congress, I'm sure Congress is going to go after you. Now, it's interesting because Section 190M of Title II says, it shall be the duty of the Marshal of the United States for the district in which the testimony is to be taken to serve or cause to be served all subpoenas issued on behalf of the United States under this section and Section 190L of this title. I'm sorry, but U.S. Marshals take an oath to support the Constitution. So if a subpoena is issued by Congress, that's not a lawful subpoena. It's not. So a federal court subpoena should be issued by a U.S. Marshal. Interesting, mine was served by the FBI, not by a U.S. Marshal. So that's another interesting, that's a completely separate consideration. But it's back to this understanding. Congress does not have the authority, legal authority, to command your presence, to issue a writ of subpoena. They certainly don't have the legal authority to arrest you or fine you if you refuse to testify or don't give them answers that they think are pertinent. Remember, according to Section 192, that if you refuse to answer any question pertinent to the question under inquiry, You're guilty of a misdemeanor. I don't care. It's not your power. You don't have the power to hold me for not giving you answers simply because you think it's pertinent. We have this thing called the Constitution. Remember that oath that you ladies and gentlemen took? Yeah, it says you're going to support the Constitution. First of all, the Fifth Amendment says, I cannot be forced to testify against myself. So it involves me or anything I've done. I don't have to answer, period. But second of all, your subpoena, your command of testimony is unconstitutional. It's illegal. It's a crime. Now, does that mean you're not going to spend time in jail? Oh, no, you'll spend time in jail. But that gets back to this point of what's the hill we're going to die on? When are we going to start pushing back and say, you know what, Congress, we didn't give you this authority. Therefore, we don't have to follow it. And if you don't like it, go pound sand. Now, again, if one person shows up and says pound sand, they're probably getting, you know, they're going to end up in jail. If a dozen people show up and say, or refuse to show up and say pound sand, maybe it gets a little more attention. But we need to recognize that we, the people, have not authorized Congress to issue subpoenas, to command testimony. We haven't authorized them to investigate crimes, to prosecute crimes, or to demand testimony. Therefore, these are all criminal acts. Yeah, criminal acts. Remember that little document called the Declaration of Independence? Well, in the list of grievances, grievance number 13, was that he has combined with others to subject us to a jurisdiction foreign to our Constitution and unacknowledged by our laws, giving his assent to their acts of pretended legislation. Well, that's exactly what Congress is doing here. They are, Congress and the executive branch are subjecting us to jurisdictions foreign to the Constitution. We did not authorize this. It's not in the Constitution. You don't have it. It is unacknowledged by our laws. I know they passed legislation, but a law repugnant to the Constitution is void. Marbury versus Madison, right out of the Supreme Court. They are giving assent, the people in this case, and the other branch of government are giving assent to their acts of a pretended legislation. This is the type of stuff that we fought a war over. We justified separating from our parent country from nonsense like this. Yet we continue to let it happen again and again and again, partially because the American people are ignorant of their power, partially because they've been brainwashed by this government-run schools, by the media, and by the whole society into believing that whatever Congress does is legal. It's not. And speaking of illegal acts of members of these mythical powers that governmental actors assume, if you've been following what's been going on with the abortion legislation in Texas, recently the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals reinstated, or I should say, they overturned the injunction preventing preventing the Texas SB 8 law from going into effect. Well, apparently the president's not happy with it, so now his administration is again trying to urge the courts to do what he wants. Now, I don't so much have a problem with a president offering an opinion on what the judiciary should and shouldn't do. But this is now the second time. This is the Biden administration not getting what he wants. So now he's going to, again, use the court of public opinion, apparently, to bully a federal judge somewhere to, in effect, overturn the Constitution, ignore the laws of the land and the actual laws of the United States, and step on the scales of justice, claiming the authority to suspend a state law because they claim that the Supreme Court of the United States created a right to abortion. They ignore the actual language of Roe v. Wade. They say, no, you violated the right protected, you know, established by Roe v. Wade. It was not established by Roe v. Wade. The Supreme Court cannot establish. They don't have the power to do that. Only the people can create what something, a constitutionally protected right. It's tough. But here we have the president meddling in things that, you know, everybody knows his position. This is approaching bullying. This is approaching, this is approaching intimidation. The department just said, if Texas scheme is permissible, no constitutional right is safe from state-sanctioned sabotage of this kind. It has nothing to do with Texas law. Your constitutionally protected rights are not safe from state-sanctioned sabotage because we ignore the Constitution. All I have to do is say Second Amendment. If you require the permission of government to exercise a right, you're denied the right. If the government has the authority to determine on its own whether or not you can exercise a right, they've infringed on a right. Now, I've already talked about the Texas bill. I did an article on it. I did a video. I covered it on this radio program. You can find it on the America Out Loud website that goes into details. But you see, this is what happens when, again, president doesn't get what he wants. He just keeps bullying and pressuring and bullying until he gets what he wants? Is that how, quote unquote, the rule of law works in America nowadays? See, there's a lot that we have to keep in mind as we look at these laws, as we look at these actions by our employees in government. Yes, our employees, they work for us. We are responsible for their actions. And it's about time we start taking responsibility for their actions. For example, now, for those of you who don't know, the reason we have two houses of Congress is one house is supposed to represent the people, the other is supposed to represent the states. The House of Representatives represents the people, the Senate represents the states. So here we have Senator Schumer, who happens to be the Grand Chief Poobah of the senators who are members of the same club called the Democratic Party, which now holds half the seats and the vice presidency, so they effectively have some control over the Senate. And he's demanding in a press conference that the Biden administration stop the spread of ghost guns. All right, so what's a ghost gun? Basically, a ghost gun is a gun that hasn't been serialized by the manufacturer. It doesn't matter whether this is a printed gun. For the most part, these are guns. You know, you buy the parts to build a gun, and you build a gun, and under federal law, that's right, under the laws of the United States, as corrupt as they are, if you build your own firearm, you do not have to serialize it until you sell it. That's the law. But you see, Senator Schumer doesn't like this. He just likes gun control laws. Now, he talks about, you know, New York City faces increased seizures of homemade weapons. So what? Again, the Second Amendment says the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Doesn't say anything about, well, to keep and bear arms that they bought somewhere else or that meet the government's approval. I don't care, Senator Schumer. One of the reasons why I left your communist empire is because you refuse to recognize the Second Amendment of the Constitution of the United States. Ghost guns are not the problem. You look at New York City. Is the problem the fact that criminals are getting guns that are not serialized? No, the problem is criminals are getting guns. And in many cases, once committing crimes with those guns, they're not suffering the full punishment of the laws you've already created in New York State. So you have a constitution, a supreme law of the land that says, listen, you cannot infringe on the right. We don't care what you think. We don't care how important you think it is. No government is legally allowed to infringe on your right to both keep and bear arms, to own and carry arms. They are the criminal. Senator Schumer, you are conspiring to commit a federal crime because you're talking about depriving people of their right to keep and bear arms without due process, and you're not even man enough to do it in Congress. You want the president to do it for you because you know you can't win. You are a backstabbing, slimy excuse for a senator. if you really think, if you have the evidence that is that a some sort of ghost gun ban or some sort of something to stop the spread of it is constitutional, why don't you bring it up in the Senate? Because you know you'll lose. Now, you'll blame the Republicans. There are plenty of Republicans that are probably jump onto this ghost gun ban. But let's face it, you don't want the political, I don't think you want the political backsplash that would happen from such an unconstitutional and illegal and immoral act. So you're trying to get the president to violate the Constitution, somehow enact a law that you couldn't be bothered to actually, even propose or at least get passed in the Senate. This is corruption. You want to know why people don't trust Congress? Because of people like you, Mr. Schumer. Because people who don't get their way, they will whine and cry and stamp and try and get some way to go around the system, to bypass the laws, to get what they wanted. Mr. Schumer, I look at this and I see a two-year-old who didn't get their way, who's throwing a temper tantrum, telling mom and dad that they have to fix it for him. Well, you know what, Mr. Schumer? I really don't care what you say, because you are a criminal, you are a thief. I got the evidence to prove it because you violated the rights of the American people for decades. Yet the people of New York State keep sending this man to the Senate to represent the state of New York. Another reason why I left the state of New York, because a majority of the people of the state of New York want this criminal to represent them. Mr. Schumer, if you represent the state of New York, the state of New York is a petty, dictatorial empire, not worth the time to even consider. Now, I have to take a break, but before I do, I want to remind you to head to HealthyCell.com. Check out the new way to do vitamins. Now, I've talked in the past, all this discussion, we're still dealing with. They're talking about the new flu season. Hey, the best thing you can do is make sure you have a healthy body with a healthy immune system. One way you can do that is with Healthy Cells Immune Super Boost. Support your immune system, whether you're on the go, wherever you're going, with a simple, easy-to-use, nutritious gel pack. Just take the gel pack or mix it in food and water. Get the vitamins and minerals your body needs to fight off whatever diseases come your way. And as an America Out Loud listener, you get 20% off your first order. Just go to healthycell.com/outloud for that 20% discount. You try any of their products, but today I'm recommending the Immune Super Boost because I use it so that when I'm out and about and meeting people, I don't get sick, which would prevent me from coming to you with all this wonderful information. So again, that's healthycell.com/outloud for 20% off your first order.
Well, my fellow Americans, how did you feel watching footage on the news of domestic terrorists looting our stores and burning our cities down? You were probably disgusted and angry as much as I was. It's disturbing what's going on. Well, you'd be shocked to know that your shopping habits are supporting these extremists. Companies like Amazon, Nike, Disney, FedEx, it's an endless list, and they've been supporting these radical groups. Let's stop supporting companies that fund these extremist groups. We can all do our part. Visit shoptotheright.com and you'll find businesses in a nationwide database and companies that are aligned with our American values. Visit shoptotheright.com and let's all make a difference.
Each of us is born with 30 trillion cells that make us. These cells determine how we feel, perform, sleep, focus, and how long we live. And to live our best life, all we have to do is feed our cells. But most food and supplements don't reach our cells, keeping us from reaching our full potential. Make every cell count with Healthy Cell. Founded with a mission to empower people to take control of their own health at the most fundamental level, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, world-renowned cell researcher and medical doctor, created supplements that work at the cellular level to boost immune health, sleep better, focus deeper, and stay younger longer. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of any product. And that's HealthyCell.com, HEALTHYCELL, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Welcome back, Everyday Americans. You've joined the Constitution Study. Today, we are talking about these imagined, these mythical powers of the federal government. Well, we talked a lot about several different parts of government. We left talking about Senator Schumer and his whining and crying because he can't get a ghost gun, an illegal, unconstitutional ghost gun restriction bill through the Senate. So he's going to ask the president to do it for him because, let's face it, he's a tyrant and he doesn't give two rips about the Constitution of the United States, except when it helps him do whatever it is he wants. But if we're going to talk about just completely ignoring the Constitution of the United States to get whatever ends you want, well, this IRS banking scandal, this idea that banks are supposed to report to the, they want banks to report to the IRS just about every transaction worth its salt. Basically, in one of these ridiculous omnibus bills that they're trying to sneak through, they want banks to report details on any banking at transaction you have over $600. Think about it. You know, how many of you have a mortgage over $600? And, you know, they keep doubling down. They keep pushing. We need this. We need this. We need this. Well, let's back up for just a second. What is their probable cause that you have committed a crime to warrant to make such a search of your records reasonable? There isn't one. Understand what they're talking about. They're saying they need this in order to fight crime. Nancy Pelosi said in a statement, there are concerns that some people have, but if people are breaking the law and not paying taxes, one way to track them is through the banking measure. Well, I'm sorry, Ms. Pelosi, but that's not the way things are supposed to work in this country. You don't search people to see if they committed a crime. That is actually a crime, Ms. Pelosi. That is a violation of the Fourth Amendment. That is an unreasonable search. You have no probable cause. Now, some of you may know that I believe the current limit is $10,000. So if you do a transaction over $10,000, the bank is supposed to report it. Again, an unreasonable search. They are searching your records, your documents, your effects without any evidence that you've done anything wrong. But you see, the courts, in their infinite stupidity, have said, but the government needs this. They need this information because it's part of their job as government to snoop into everything you do just in case you do something wrong. Well, first of all, no, the Constitution says, no, they're not allowed to do that. They're prohibited from doing that. It's also noticed, remember, that William Pitt the Younger said, necessity is a plea for every infringement of human freedom. This is an infringement on human freedom. This takes the infringement and just makes it worse. But we need this to find criminals. No, you find you find probable cause that someone is a criminal. Then you can go looking through your data. And the fact that the Supreme Court, in this infinite stupidity, said that just because they're banking records, they are not yours under the Fourth Amendment. You know what? I really don't care. Because the Supreme Court has shown itself to be just as corrupt when it comes to the Constitution as any other branch of the federal government, and any branch of most of the state governments as well. Just because I place something in the possession of a third party doesn't mean it's no longer mine. And though the records belong to the bank, again, you have no evidence that any criminal activity is happening. Therefore, you have no probable cause. And if you had probable cause, you'd need a warrant. You cannot order these companies to do that, at least not legally, which means it's up to the American people to stand up and say, no, if you try this, we will push back. In fact, now I was talking to a lawyer the other day, and we were talking about a report how, again, I think the number is $10,000. If you have a transaction with a bank, $10,000 or more, the bank is required by a void illegal law of the United States to report that to the IRS. So he had a client, and they were aware of this. And I said, listen, it's none of the government's business. I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm not doing anything illegal with it. I don't want this showing up because it's a it, for a, he described it, it was a perfectly legitimate reason. So he deposited in smaller chunks. And the government came after him for structuring. That's right. Not only has the federal government said, you must tell us this information, if you happen to deposit money in a way we think you're doing to hide it from us, that's now a crime. So you can commit a crime by doing something that complies with the law because they don't like the fact that you're doing it. What happens when that comes down to $600? So here's my call to each and every bank out there. I don't care how big you are. I don't care how small you are. Will you tell your customers that you will refuse to comply with this illegal edict should it become, quote unquote, law, to inform, to hand over their customer records without a warrant? That's all I'm saying. If government wants this information, they must get a warrant. If they don't have a warrant, they don't get the information. If you are a bank and you refuse to make that pledge, I refuse to do business with you. That's got to be the deal. Now understand, I run an online business. I am looking for a bank that will pledge to me they will not allow my rights to be infringed because of an illegal order of the federal government. I'm not holding my breath. Because really, what is the benefit to them? The only benefit to them is that I do business with them. But you see, if it's only me, if I'm the only one that's willing to do business with a bank that will protect my rights rather than infringe my rights, why would they go out on a limb for me? We need the American people. We need every freedom-loving American to go to their banks and say, either you protect my rights or I will find someone who will. And if it means taking all the money out of the bank, it means taking all the money out of the bank. If it means that I can't take credit cards anymore, I'll figure something out. But I am done. I am not going to pretend that the Congress of the United States has this authority when it does not. The emperor has no clothes, and it's about time we, the American people, stand up and remind them that we did not authorize this. They don't have it. It's about time we start firing some of these criminals that currently work for us in Congress. Speaking of the criminal in the House, Nancy Pelosi, she's now blaming reporters for not promoting her legislative agenda. That's right. She said during a press conference, I think you all could do a better job of selling it, to be very frank with you. Okay, Ms. Pelosi, let me remind you, the press doesn't work for you. The very fact that you think the press is going to be your propaganda arm, your marketing arm, shows just how corrupt the corporate media has become. She's actually disappointed that they are not selling her legislative agenda. So let me ask you, if you consume information from one of these news outlets, why? I mean, seriously, if the Speaker of the House expects these news outlets to sell you her legislative agenda, they are not reporting news. They are a propaganda arm. Now, I'm not saying that the media should be for this or against this. All they should be doing is reporting the facts and the data. And if they want to have an opinion, mark it so. Right? Here are the facts. Here's our opinion. Any media outlet that doesn't do that is not to be trusted. And any media outlet that any politician, I don't care the party, I don't care where they are, any politician expects a media arm to sell their agenda shows just how corrupt both government and the media have become. And we keep hiring these crooks and criminals to represent us in Congress, and we keep supporting these media outlets that are lying and lying to us and trying to influence rather than report to us. Now, why does anybody pay attention to any, why does anybody listen to anything government officials say? See, that's the part I don't understand. So I already know that Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer, they're criminal, corrupt politicians. There's nothing new. And I ask this all the time. How can you tell when a politician is lying? Their lips are moving. Why do we listen to them? Better yet, why do we hire them? But here's something I want you to consider. I saw this column show up. It's from an Aaron Poynton, sorry, if I mispronounce your name. But he brought up something very interesting. See, millions of Americans are being bullied into taking an experimental biologic, into becoming a human guinea pig, to effectively doing safety trials on the American population. Workers are being forced to choose between having a job or taking this. This is not a vaccine. It's a drug. It's a biologic. The federal government is doing it. The state government's doing it. City governments are doing it. Now, they're all saying you have to do this because the government says we need it. We know that we've been told that these quote unquote vaccines are safe and that they are effective. All right, what Aaron did, which I thought was really it, is he went back into a little bit of human history and he noted some things. You do realize that at one point, the U.S. government was the world's biggest buyer of cigarettes. Why? Well, see, the U.S. Army's chief medical officer pushed it to soldiers to sustain morale and discipline, calm nerves, boost alertness, foster camaraderie, and suppress hunger. Yet today we know that, well, tobacco kills you. Smoking cigarettes kills you. But see, the government told the U.S. Army told the soldiers, oh, no, no, cigarettes are good for you. Likewise, the government deemed asbestos safe. In fact, the U.S. Patent Office issued a patent for its use as an improved compound for roofing and other purposes. Again, they listed benefits of asbestos, but we then found out about mesothelioma. Today, what was once considered a good and safe insulation is now considered so dangerous that if you find it in your home, you have to hire specialized professionals to deal with it. Or do you remember back in 1955 when they found that there was a problem with the polio vaccine? Caused 40,000 cases of polio, leaving 200 children paralyzed and killing 10. And that led to a recall of the vaccine. We have, 16,000 people died from the COVID vaccines? And it's still, not only is it still on the market, it's being promoted. In fact, a Yale School of Medicine study found that nearly one-third of drugs approved between 2001 and 2010 had major safety issues years after they were made available to patients. In fact, it took a median of 4.2 years after the approval for these concerns to arise. Yet here we have a drug with only a few months of study, safety tests that are questionable, reporting that's been manipulated, and we're supposed to trust the government. Oh, it's safe because we say so. Now, you know, there's an old saying, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. What happens when we get fooled over and over and over and over again? Well, then we must be the American voter. So here we are, listening to a bully telling us we must get vaccinated when the vaccine shows that, you know what, after a few months, natural immunity is better. When the death rate from the disease the vaccine is supposed to prevent you from getting is 1%. The hospitalization rate, I don't know that off the top of my head. When we don't, you know, we have... Documented events of serious adverse reactions, some of them including death, and we won't learn. We simply trust the government. What are we? Are we Charlie Brown? Are the American people Charlie Brown and the federal government Lucy? And the government just says, hey, keep on coming. You come kick this football. Come, this drug is safe. That drug is safe. This product is safe. And every time we swing and we miss, we fall flat on our back, and we go back and do it again and again and again and again. Well, the answer is I don't trust government because they've lied to me too often, and I'm smart enough now to recognize it. So, no, I will not get the vaccine. I refuse to get the vaccine. And I will fight for my right to live at liberty without the vaccine with every breath I've got. Will you? Or will you sit there like a sheep saying, oh yeah, let me smoke this cigarette, let me use this asbestos, let me take this vaccine and pray they got it right this time? You see, I don't pray to government. I pray to God. And I answer to him. And the answer to the government for their vaccine is not just no, it's hell no. But it's not just the federal government. The states are just as crazy. I mean, let's take a look at California. California is nutso. Absolutely nutso. So the Governor Newsom just signed legislation that says by the 2029-30 school year, in order to graduate high school in California, you need to pass an ethnic studies requirement. Okay, tell me what it, now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that whether or not ethnic studies should be allowed, but an ethnic studies requirement. All right, that puts up some red flags, but let's look a little deeper. Now, I agree. I don't have a problem with students studying history and including history from many different ethnicities. But you see, here's the problem. As many parents are arguing, the model curriculum is based on critical race theory. Meaning, while they call this an ethnic studies requirement, what they're really talking about is a racist studies requirement. So if you live in California and you have a child that will be graduating, you know, that, let's say that's in elementary school or younger, if you live in California, California is saying in order for your child to graduate, to get a high school diploma from the government, they're going to have to pass a racist course, a racist study course. Now, if the people of California believe that teaching children to be racism should be a requirement to graduate a government high school, okay, that's up to them. The question then becomes, well, what about non-government high schools? And you know, what about parents who say, you know what? No, I don't want my child to study a racist indoctrination class. I don't want them involved in a class that teaches someone to judge other people based on the color of their skin. See, now, California, well, they're the new Confederate South, aren't they? They're the Jim Crow South is now California. Because now they're going to judge, they're teaching their children to judge people based on the color of their skin. And you, if you live in California, you elected these people. Don't go pointing the finger. They're your fault. And they're not done. See, Governor Newsom also signed into law a bill that requires, quote unquote, large retailers to provide gender neutral toy sections. Yeah, that's right. The state of California is claiming the authority to tell retailers how to market their wares. Now, I'm not talking about saying, well, you know, oh, I don't know about you. The last time I was in a toy store, there was not a, you know, the boys were not forbidden from going to the girl's side, and the girls were not forbidden from going to the boy's side. When I was a small child, every Christmas, my grandfather would give me, my sister, my cousins, we would get a check, and we would go to the to a local department store, and the kids would run loose through the toy department deciding what they wanted to buy with the money that their grandfather had given them for Christmas. It was a wonderful, drove my parents nuts. But as my sister and I, we loved it. And you know what? There wasn't one time when someone said, oh, I'm sorry, Paul, you can't have that toy because, well, you're a boy and that's a girl's toy. It might have been frowned upon by certain people, but there was no toy store that said you're not allowed to enter the section. But here you have, you got to have a gender neutral. Well, you know what, Governor Newsom? You're a tyrant. And I blame the people of California for electing you. And by the way, I blame you for electing everyone in the legislature who voted for this nonsense. Tell me, where does the state of California granted the authority to deprive the business owners of the property of their business and can running it the way they want? This is a violation of the 14th Amendment of the Constitution. It's a violation of the 5th Amendment of the Constitution. It's probably a violation of the Constitution in California. I just don't know where off the top of my head. But you see, you voted for these guys. You hired these idiots. Californians, these people are your fault. And as much as I look at them in derision, I blame you. So when you whine and complain about things like a California law that they're trying to get passed that would ban the sale of small off-road gasoline engines. In other words, it would ban the sale of gas-powered lawnmowers, generators, pressure washers, chainsaws, weed trimmers, even golf carts. I don't, you know, you brought this on yourself. You hired everyone in the legislature that's actually considering this. And now you had a chance, you hired Governor Newsom, you had the chance to get rid of him, and you decided not to. So when you're sitting there because you can't buy a lawnmower that runs on gasoline when you have a big yard to mow, when you can't get that pressure washer, when you can't get the weed trimmer because, well, you have to keep going back and plugging it in, it's your fault. You literally did this to yourself. And the only thing I have to say is, whatever you do, don't try and share it with us here in Tennessee. Because I know that a bunch of my fellow volunteers will not put up with this nonsense here in Tennessee. So when you drive your economy into the ground, as you have been doing for years, don't come looking to the other states to bail you out. You did this to yourself. You made this bed. You lie in it. Paul, that's not very nice. It is unloving to continue to perpetuate the tyranny and stupidity of the people of California. I believe it was Benjamin Franklin said, the best way to get someone out of poverty is to make them uncomfortable in it. Well, the best way to get someone out of tyranny is to make them uncomfortable in it. You want to run yourself into the ground, be my guest, but you pay the taxes to cover it. This is the, you know, you created this mess. You are the one that fouled your bed. You clean it up. Don't ask me to come clean it up. Don't ask the rest of the American people to clean up your mess. And while we're at it, I got one more kind of, I want to maybe a little bit of good news. Not a lot, just a little bit of good news. See, lawmakers in Oregon are actually seeking a federal grand jury to investigate the CDC and FDA's manipulation of the COVID statistics. There is evidence that these numbers have been manipulated. And now, two state senators in Oregon are seeking to have an investigation to get the federal grand jury to investigate this the fraud. There's no other term for it, a fraud. By manipulating the data on hospitalizations, the data on deaths. And the CDC itself admitted that at one point earlier this year, that 94% of the reported COVID deaths are people who died with an average of 2.5 other causes of death. Not other diseases, other causes of death. Oh, you had a heart attack, you had high blood pressure, you had a stroke, and you happened to have COVID. Oh, see, you're a COVID death. Now, expecting the federal government in the form of a federal grand jury and a federal judiciary to properly investigate another federal agency, well, let's just say I'm not holding my breath. But I think it's important that we, the people, the American people, recognize that we need to stand up. We need to stop sitting there and pretending that government has these powers that it doesn't. It starts with education. If you want to know what the federal government, what the United States legally is allowed to do, then you read and study the Constitution of the United States. Now, I can help. Again, go to constitutionstudy.com. Here's my challenge to you. Read the Constitution. Read it in the next few days. Make a list. Make a list of everything you found in the Constitution that you'd never realized before. Make a second list of every question you come up with, because you're going to have questions. Questions are good. Then do me a favor. Head to constitutionstudy.com and join the live Q&A. It's the second and fourth Sunday every month, 7 p.m. Central Time. Join it and ask those questions. Start asking those questions. We'll get answers to you. If you can't join us live, well, then go to Constitution Study. There's an Ask a Question button on the menu. Simply ask a question there, and I'll answer it via email. But let's understand the limits of the federal government, and then we'll start looking at how do we enforce those limits. How do we stop acting as subjects of government and start acting as its master? As Abraham Lincoln said, the people are the rightful masters of both Congresses and courts, not to overturn the Constitution, but to overturn the people who pervert the Constitution. Well, it's time we start dealing with all the perverting that's going on out of Washington, out of our state capitals, and out of our city halls. But we start by education. And if you want more, do me a favor, head to constitutionscholars.com, constitutionscholars.com. You can register for free and start reading and studying and find other people that are interested in the Constitution. Read and study with others. Help get your questions answered. Help answer the questions of others. Let's form the premier community where people can go to be students of the Constitution, to learn not only what it says, but how to study it and how to apply it. Let's do that. I need your help. Come with me to Constitution Scholars. Check that out. Again, absolutely free. Register, search the site, join the conversation, become part of the solution rather than part of the problem. Stop looking at these powers that government are exercising going, oh no, oh whoa, what can I do? Realize that you have the power with your friends, with your family, with your neighbors. Learn how to exercise that power so that we can restore the United States to the land of the free and the home of the brave. Now you can find out more about my show and get all the latest podcasts if you go to the menu on AmericaOutLoud.com. Just look under our shows or schedule and you'll find the Constitution Study and a bunch of other great programs as well.
Maybe you'll stay out of jail.